Thank you, God, for all your mercies toward us. And some of your mercies we really just we're unaware of, but you've allowed us to still be here. You've allowed us to live in a land where we can still study your word, assemble or come together on online as such, and learn from your word. You tell us that your word is to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. You tell us to live by every word that proceeds out of it, and you tell us that our ways can be cleansed by taking heed to it. So with this knowledge, Lord, I'm asking that you will help us to live within that and not to turn to our own thoughts and our feelings, but help us to feel what you want us to feel. Help us to think what you want us to think. And the more I look in the scriptures, Lord, I see that we need you to tell us how to think and what to think, lest we think that we're right on our own. I ask that you help each and every one of us when we're in our homes, when we're working with our children, talking to our loved ones, or to associates on our job. Help us to be bold. And Lord, help us to be what you've called us to be. I ask that you help me tonight as we go through this last portion of the third chapter of 1 Kings. I don't want to say anything that is wrong. And if I do, Lord, we hopefully have someone who can help me get that right. But we want your word, dear Lord, to do just what you said it would. Help us not to be stubborn. And I ask these things in your son Jesus' name, amen. So again, tonight we wanted to complete the third chapter of 1 Kings. And I believe it was on last week where we ended up at about the 15th chapter. So just to kind of bring us up to date where we were, if you get a chance, you perhaps can go and listen to the first portion of this particular chapter. On last week, we had seen pretty much where we had kind of picked back up where Solomon had some people executed that were rival components to his father's kingdom. And David had told him how to deal with that once David had passed off the scene. And so at the beginning of the chapter, just this chapter 3 on last week, we saw that David had made affinity with Pharaoh's daughter. And without going and teaching all that, I did mention that some think that that was okay because the Bible said not to marry the Canaanites. However, in our discussion, we're reminded that God said not to make a league, period, with other nations. And I was like, yes, this is good. This is part of the reason why we have discussion. And then we saw that David had gone on and he had made some sacrifices in Jerusalem and saw that the Lord was pleased later on. What did I say? Thank you. Dree corrected me. And some of you are probably thinking, no, Gary, it's not David. I mean Solomon. Just wait till we keep going on in these kings and I get to all these names with J's. Anyway, let's get back to where we were. Solomon, he lies down, I suppose, or at least he goes to sleep. And in this sleep, there's a dream. Many people believe that scholars believe that he actually went to Gibeon for the purpose of having some kind of communication with God. I don't know that they verified it sufficiently, but we know that the Bible says that God gave him a dream and he communicated with him and he asked Solomon what he wanted. And unlike the first king, Saul, that is, Solomon asked God for the wisdom to be able to judge his people. When I say his people, I'm talking about the people of God. This is what Solomon asked for. And God was so pleased with this unselfish prayer. It was a righteous prayer because it's like, these people are not mine. They are not my people. You must give me the wisdom that is righteous, that is pure, that is from above, so that I will not mistreat these people, that I won't show respect of persons when they come before me. God just, he loved it such to the point that he says to Solomon, not only am I going to grant your request, you didn't ask to live a long time. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for these things, but I'm going to do this for you. Lord, have mercy. Listen at the sixth verse. And Solomon said, Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. According as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David. My father, he goes on and says that I'm just a young person. Bible and King James says it's a child. Let's skip down to this ninth verse. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great people? And the Bible says God liked it. So we moved on down where he had awakened and so forth. And then he had we'll just move on down to where we are on this particular evening. But we see God blessed him. I'm asking my wife to read from this 15th verse on down through this 28th verse. And this is what we're going to, where we're going to find our focus on this particular evening. It's a passage that is probably common to most everyone that's with us tonight. So, Dre, if you have it, I'd like you to read verses 15 through 28.
And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And one woman said, Oh, my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day, after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one says, This is my son that lives, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one, and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, Oh, my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it. And the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment.
Oh, you read that so well. It's almost like we just close up and have discussion. No, don't get too excited. We are not going to do that right now. My title for this lesson tonight is The Sword of Judgment Separates. I'm gonna add it, the sword of God's judgment separates. Now, I have a double entendre in there that we talked about this child possibly being divided here, at least in the minds of the people. Let's go back to this particular text that we're looking at tonight. This 15th verse is found that Solomon, he awakens from this dream. And we know that God would deal with his people in various ways. God in sundry times and diverse manners, speak to the fathers by the prophets. We know that he would deal with them in different ways. And he's dealing with Solomon right here through a dream. Solomon believes that God has dealt with him, and he's acknowledging through this peace offering sacrifice that he opened, and there's this feast. Now, we had read one of the previous chapters of this First Kings that his kingdom was established after David had talked to him. You read in 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter, that the kingdom would be established through his son. So when we enter into the 16th chapter, and we look at the remaining portion, this particular chapter here, we're getting an example of the type of wisdom that God has given to him. Now, some people believe that this is just a story to talk about Solomon. I don't believe it's so. Nonetheless, let's go on, and we're going to look going back here and look at these verses. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. Now, when I just look at this particular first verse, some might say this is amazing, and maybe rightly so, that the type of women that came were women who had a lifestyle that was not a lifestyle that was of a good report. This was a lifestyle that would have been, let's say, talked about, that they would have been demeaned. And say the scriptures would say this. Some people don't believe that they were Hebrew women. I cannot tell you exactly, but what I do see is that they were able to approach the king. They were able to approach the king because there was an issue at hand. It could have been such that it's like, these people don't deserve to come to me for me to even hear their matters. I believe it's in the book of Luke, the 18th chapter. We're not going to turn there tonight, but I just want to tell you, the Bible talks about how Jesus talked about this widow who had been mistreated and cheated out of some money that was due her. And then she went before this judge, and this judge did not care about her. He did not care about God, and he did not want to listen to her. But we don't see that right here with Solomon. Solomon has asked God for wisdom to be able to discern between that which was good and that which was bad. I believe we can say that which was holy and that which, just say holy. Because if it's not holy, then it's not right, Lord. Have mercy. So these women, the scum, the outcast, I'm going to say the rejected, because of the lifestyle that they have lived in, they have become pregnant. And these two women have found themselves living in a particular, let's say, place whereby they both give birth, one not too long after the other. And there is a problem. You know this history, don't you know it? And they come before the king so that he can get it right. Lord, have mercy. Listen at this 17th verse. And the one woman said, oh, Drew, you read it so good. Y'all don't be mad at me because I'm not going to sound as good as she did. I looked up to see if she was crying for real. I did. Oh, my Lord. And this woman dwell in one house. I and this woman were in one place, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also. I had my baby first. I had time to look at this baby. And though my life said I was a reflection of dishonor, some people say that, you know, when the woman's husband would die, whatever, sometimes the woman would be forced into a lifestyle of prostitution to make money. I don't know if this is the case here. But what I do know is that naturally, when a woman has a baby, there is a bond that's supposed to take place. The child has been with inside the womb of this mother, getting the nutrients from this mother. Child understands the voice, who my mother is. When the baby comes out and she takes that baby and she gives that baby suck, and the baby can fix its eyes, his or her eyes on that mother. Lord have mercy. And make a connection that I the earpiece came out of my ear. I'm not going to tell you that I fully understand that. You know, in the animal kingdom, they talk about an imprint. It's a baby zebra when it sees stripes. It can recognize those stripes from all the other zebras. That's amazing to me. But let's talk about the animal kingdom. The bond between the mother and the child. Hannah, do you remember Hannah wanted a baby? Hannah wanted a baby! So in spite of the lifestyle, she's had time to bond with this baby. Maybe she feels like, you know, in spite of all that I've done, this is so, I got a baby. And then just the 3 days later, the other woman, same type of lifestyle, she gives birth to a baby, but we see something. I don't, maybe she had a love for that child, but there's something in this other woman that is just wicked and evil. Yes, it is. Listen, back in the scripture, I was delivered of a child with her in the house. I'm at the 18th verse. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. Probably the baby crying, cooing, and I don't know if they was talking. I don't know if there was animosity. Maybe there was animosity between these two women. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. Sound like we were the only ones there. 19th verse, and this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. Listen, here comes the problem. The king. Nighttime came. We did the normal thing that we place these babies beside us, beside ourselves. My child with me and her child with her. And maybe she was a little careless. I don't know, but she leaned over and she crushed her baby to death. I didn't hear any whimpering. I didn't hear any crying. I didn't wake up, but I had my baby with me. And she woke up and she learned that her baby was not breathing anymore. She picked it up. And it was lifeless. She picked it up. She touched it to see if it would make a noise. It didn't make a noise. And she grew greedy. And she grew selfish. She sees it. Her child. And I think I'll take it. Now let me. So just figure, I can read this text by myself. And I can imagine all of this. You are right. You can. But let's look at it with the perspective of this. Whether these women were Hebrew or not, they needed some judgment in their lives, didn't they? And so we live in a world where without God's judgment, things will go awry, amok, and straight to hell. And you know, God has given his order and established things. And when people walk outside of it, this world will tear itself apart. We just like the animals that will bite and devour one another. Be just like the thorns that when God gave his earth, it was to yield forth fruit. And those thorns was a representation of the trouble, of the sorrow, of the pain, of the sin, of the toil, of the labor. And so when this world does not have God's judgment, then people, the way people feel about something, they will take the way they feel and they will smush out what should be. Notice I said what should be. Calm down, Gary. They will eliminate what should be the proper justice in the land. Common sense is not common sense, but righteousness should supersede even what common sense is. This woman, we could say she was desperate. We could say she was in denial. We could say she grew depressed. We could say she, you can label it like you want to. Her child was dead. I don't think she lay on the child on purpose, but she decided to kill. I mean, she does. She decides to steal. She decides to rob. She decides to kidnap and take this other woman's child. And now they are before the king. Will Solomon hear these people? You know what? I think what we have a picture in Solomon is that one can come to God when one is sincere. two are there. One doesn't really want to be there, I don't believe, at least when we look at her attitude. But one is seeking for true righteousness. One is seeking for true justice. The other one is there, but the other one is unaffected. Did you hear what I said? When you come, oh Lord, when we come before, I brought it up to us, when we approach the King, you better approach him in sincerity. When we approach the King, we better understand that it's about his judgment. And I gave a title, and I said the sword, I think I wrote it down in two different places. I said the sword of God's judgment separates. Now, we got someone who comes and looking for justice, and we got another one who comes and doesn't care. There needs to be a separation of what should actually take place. Do you need any judgment in your life? Do you need any judgment for a situation going on in your life? Do you need any judgment for maybe how you have not let go of something that is not pleasing to God? I said, whoa. I was looking at this, and I said, Lord, how should I teach this? So let's go back to the text here. Well, it says in this, this lady says, we both, just us two in the house. And I said, nightfall had fallen. Listen at this 19th verse. This woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son. I didn't wake up while thine handmaid slept. And laid in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. 21st verse. And when I rose in the morning, here comes the light. I believe we've got a contrast. Well, the story's true. I believe it's true. We still have a contrast between light and dark. The darkness is that light hasn't come just yet. This woman being evil in the nighttime. People like night because they can be evil. That's what Jesus said in John. And this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation that men love darkness because their deeds were evil. Well, Gary, you're forcing this. Did she not do something in the dark when it couldn't be so easily seen? Did she not do something? Did she not steal? Yes, she did. People don't like to do stuff all the time in the light. But you know what? We live in a world that has become so wicked that we will say that which is evil, we'll call it good, and that which is good, we'll call it evil. We'll say people who tell the truth that they are backwards. We'll say that they're antiquated. We'll say that they're traditional. We'll call them many things. We'll call them Bible thumpers. But I'm going to tell you one thing. This world will be judged by God, whether it looks like it now or not. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Is that at the name of Jesus? Every knee gonna bow. Let's go back to this. King, she took my child and she lay in her bosom as if it were her own. She probably was happy, smiling. She could feel the heartbeat of this child, yet I was still asleep, and this baby had gone to an eternal type sleep. And I did not know what had happened until the night had faded away. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. Notice she said my child because she's still thinking it's hers. But then she looked at it and said, but when I had considered it in the morning, oh, the light exposes wickedness. Behold, telling you, King, this was not my son which I had given birth to. Now, imagine the horror. This woman, okay, so why? I asked the question, why? There seems to be a surface answer. Okay, my child, is it good enough? It is so not good enough. You mothers out there, I can't. We know that women will steal other people's children and take them. But for a woman to think that another woman, I think women will just have a thought about that. It's like, why? This is not your child. Listen at this 22nd verse. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son and the dead is thy son. And this said, no. Now, when it says this is, how can I call this? Sort of like an indefinite pronoun referring to this first woman, this lady, or the first woman, if you will. No, but the dead is thy son and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the King. I'm wondering, this first lady, oh, I'm sorry, the second lady who had stolen the first shell, she probably thought, this is not fair. This is not fair, and had become consumed with the fact that my child should not have died. So lose all sense of what should have been this like God-given ability to discern what was right and wrong. I'm not going to take this woman's child. I'm going to mourn the fact that my child is going to totally not do that. I'm going to take this other person's child. Such is it in life today, when sometimes we're going through situations and there are other people who feel that their cause is more, how can I say, more important, even if it's unrighteous, than our cause. And they will deal unjustly with us sometimes, won't they? You know what Jesus told his disciples? Because I was reading and I thought, let me just go back. Let's look at some scriptures. He told them, he said, Gary, this doesn't fit the text. There's a principle here. And this woman is not righteous, but what's going on, there is something that should be right between these two women. Jesus told his disciples, he says, you know what? One of these days, he says, you're going to be delivered up before the council. And he says, if they call me the son of Beelzebub, they're going to call you worse. If they want to kill me, they're going to do worse to you. You are not greater than me. There are times when we represent the kingdom of God and we are his children, we are going to have to incur, how can I say, injustices. Going through something right now, and I said, I got to give this thing to the Lord. I got to give this thing to the Lord, else I might act a fool, and I don't want to be a fool. These women came before the king. How is Solomon going to deal with this? Say, the night had passed and the day had come. This woman in the 22nd verse, I said before, I really wondered if she loved the child. You call her mentally deranged, some would. They would just put all kinds of psychology to this. Let's just call her wicked. She says, no, this living baby is not yours. How you fix your mouth to lie so easily? How you fix your mouth to say that this is not her child? She says, it's not fair. But it is fair for me to take your child. It is fair for my child to kill somebody in your family and you to let him go scot-free. It is fair for you just to give him what they might call just a year or two in prison. It is fair because I'm hurt. And we just, what? You don't see that in the scriptures. Solomon has asked God for wisdom, for how to judge the people. You see, let's kind of go back, because this is probably a short lesson. I know I say that a lot, but I think it will be a short lesson. They had come through Israel. I mean, they had come from Egypt. There was a time when Joseph was there and the people of God were doing well, but there was a time when the Pharaoh didn't know Joseph and they got mistreated, didn't they? So they were accustomed to some unrighteous judgment. Then they come through and Moses was trying to help the people and then the people got all upset and stuff. And Moses told them, this is how you should live. This is when you get over there, you're to obey God's word. That's going to be your wisdom. The people will see it and they'll marvel. And then they come through a time when Joshua brought them through. Joshua told them, you better live right. And then we get to the judges. And the people lived like there was no king, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Do you remember reading that in Judges? Let me say it again. Throughout the course of history, God had always wanted his word to be their guide. It was going to be something that they would live from their heart and draw closer to them. And he was going to pull the rest of the world in by way of example of his righteous judgment and their laws between one another, that they could see God's love demonstrated through them and his provision. But the people started doing what they wanted to. And then this judge would rise up. And then this judge would rise up. And some of the judges were wicked. And then another nation would take over. So then Saul comes on the scene. And Saul, he walks outside of God's will and he does not judge righteously. He had, I think it was 80 something priests killed because he felt like they was trying to do treason against him. This was supposed to be the man of God. I said, Saul, read it. about the 21st or the 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel. It's in there. So when David comes along and he kills somebody and he asks forgiveness, and then he still exacts God's judgment, and then David gives Solomon wisdom. It's like, oh, thank you, God. We have a king that's going to do what you said. So we're going to get a picture of what righteousness was supposed to be like in judgment. This selfish woman says, I beg to differ with you. This is my baby. Listen to how he coos. I know how my baby coos. I know what my baby looks like. You want to steal my child? 23rd verse. Then said the king, the one said, this is my son that liveth, and the son is the dead, and thy son is the dead. And the other said, nay, but thy son is dead and my son is living. And the king said, I like this. The king said in the 23rd verse, the king said in the 24th, bring me a sword. They brought a sword before the king. What else did the king say? 25th verse, and the king said, read it, Dree, divide. Read it, Dree.
Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other.
All right. Let me, you know, when the king would say something in ancient times, it was like law. So do you know when he said, bring the sword, they brought the sword? They'd be like, king, do you thought you need to think about this? He didn't need anybody's counsel. Now, the wisdom is there was probably a terror that went through the hearts and minds of all those people there. It's probably a terror that went through the hearts of the women that had children. It's like, oh my gosh, he's going to kill this baby. When we read this, what do you think? Oh my God. No. I almost said David. Solomon. He said, divide that baby. God had already given this man wisdom. I want to turn. Can we turn to Proverbs for a minute? Dre, I want you to turn to Proverbs 6 chapter. No, the 2nd chapter. And I'm going to get you to about 4 or 5 verses, all right? And I'm skipping in here. I want you to read Proverbs 2, and I think it's verse 6. And then I want you to skip, and you might even change your mind on what you want to read. And then I want you to skip down. I believe it's to about verse, I'll tell you, just skip down about verse 12. Why don't you read verse 6 first?
For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly.
Yes, the Bible says that the Lord gives them. I got two Bibles here, so I'm flipping in one. He said that God gives wisdom. Now, I want you to skip down to this 12th verse, and I want you to read on down through about the 14th verse here. Because I think when we look at what this woman has said, this woman who has stolen this child, I actually think, even though it's talking about men right here, think people, I think we see some of what's going on with this woman. What does it say?
To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things.
Now, this wisdom that is given, because I had her skip a little bit, the wisdom that God gives, it's going to preserve and it will deliver you. This one woman, though she's not righteous, her cause, it does beg for justice. What did it say again in that 12th verse? Go to the 11th verse, Dree, of this, and read down to the 14th. Discretion.
Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things.
This woman has lied. This woman has lied. She's speaking froward things. Go ahead, Dree.
Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness.
Read.
Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they are froward in their path.
That's good enough. Now, we don't see this woman rejoicing over here in this passage of scripture, but we see she had no problem in taking this woman's child. We see she had no problem, no remorse in saying that it's mine, going before the king, understanding Solomon's position. And I guess she felt like there was going to be no what's the word I'm looking for? Justice, it didn't matter. So long as this woman can't have the child. But the Bible says that the righteous will be preserved. And this case deserves some justice here. Could go back to where we are here in Kings, the third chapter. And listen again, I'm at this 25th verse. It says, the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then, after the king had done all this speaking, spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king. The mama speaking up now. For her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, oh, my lord king, just let her have the baby. Just let her have the baby. I love this. I'd rather not even have it just to know that this child can still live. Do we not understand that this was, I don't think I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done that. The wisdom that God gives is not devilish. It's not sensual. But he gave this to Solomon so that Solomon would be able to rule. What if Saul had done like this? Oh, my goodness. Give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, now, what's this other woman? She said, yep. Don't, you know what? Would you just kill it? Kill this little thing. Kill it. I don't even want to hear it cry no more. It ain't mine, but it shouldn't be hers because it wasn't fair. My life is not fair. So if I can't be happy, nobody should be happy. And I'm going to steal from you. Ain't that the kind of world we live in? Ain't that what philosophy teaches? Let the strongest one survive. Natural selection. Don't they teach that kind of stuff? You better be afraid of the Lord. Solomon said, this ain't her child. This is not her child. Listen to what it says in the 27th verse. Then the king answered and said, give her, that is the first woman that spoke and told the truth about the situation. Give her the living child and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Oh, I've read it over and over and over. And even when I read it, it's like I get this certain chill almost over me. Now imagine if God's righteousness could prevail in the land, but the people don't want God's righteousness. In the land where he is not a respecter of person because of the money, where he's not a respecter of person because of their situation, but he's going to deal righteously. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged all of Israel. And you know what? Other people would learn about it too. Don't you know? Jesus said in Matthew 12, he said that the queen of Sheba, he might not read Sheba in that particular text, but the queen of the south come up to listen. And Jesus said, there's a greater one than Solomon amongst you. Let me go back and read this text and maybe I'll make the little connection here again in Matthew. And all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, when we look in the scriptures again, we see that God had given them his judgment, given his word. He told the king to stay inside of his word. It's rather unfortunate that we'll find that Solomon was so influenced later on by various gods from these other nations that he went away from this. But we have an account here where the people feared him, but they feared the God that was in him. They feared the righteousness. And I shall make in closing a few statements. There's a king that we stand before each and every day, whether we realize it or not. There's a king that we will stand before one day, whether we realize it or not. And as I said before from Philippians 2, I think it's 5, somewhere around in there, says at the name of Jesus, at the authority of Jesus, at the position of Jesus, at the lordship of Jesus, at Jesus's power, every knee's going to bow. There's not going to be a single dimension or level of creation that is not going to, be subservient to his power. And I said that the king said, David said, the king, not David, Solomon said, bring me a sword. Because righteousness cannot be mixed in that it's going to be intertwined together with unrighteousness. It can't be. Now, he said, let the wheat grow with the tare. In other words, while you of this world, you got a job to do. But I'm going to separate. Lord have mercy. Do you feel the separation? Like when I used to work out, do you feel the burn? Do you feel the burn? Do you feel the separation? Does it feel good? Does it? No, heck, it don't feel good. But when you understand, when I understand that we're doing the will of God. Tell you something else about the sword, and I'm almost finished. In Matthew, I think it's the 10th chapter, Jesus talking to the disciples about how they would be delivered up and so forth. And how he was telling them not to be afraid and not to be afraid and not to be afraid. And there was a part where he said, he says, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. I can't remember which verse it is. Let me make it clear like this. Jesus comes on the ass colt. I can't remember if I'm saying it right. On a mule or something like that. And he comes to bring the news. People say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And he's come to let the people know, look, these are the conditions. Dree said it was verse 34 in Matthew 10. And he's tearing down that old system whereby they prostituted the word of God that was given through Moses, and they tried to take it. Jesus said, yeah, the husbandman sent his son, and they wanted to take the vineyard, so they wanted to kill him. So when I say prostituted, I mean they wanted to take it for themselves. And Jesus saying, okay, what this is going on with these scribes and Pharisees, this is not right. And he says, you know what? He says, there are going to be some that want to follow Rome, because Rome was the government in charge. The Pharisees was up under Rome. He said, but I come not to bring that kind of peace that we're going to overlook stuff. I said, I'm bringing a sword. I'm bringing a sword that's going to divide. And it's going to be to the point, Drew, are you there? Mm-hmm. That I might have you read it, but let me just see if I can just go ahead and say it. He says, there's going to be father. That's going to be the parents are going to be against the children, and the children are going to be against the parents, and the family's going to be just messed up. Now let me explain why. And he talks about that earlier before he gets to this part where he says, I come to bring a sword. There's going to be variance between the family members. Slow down, Gary. Making an application. If you're wondering, how did he jump from 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter? I'm talking principally about the sword that is found through the Bible of God, separating the wicked from the righteous. I've taken a story where the king's righteous judgment was like light to a situation that took place in the dark. And the woman who had the child, who was the actual mother, got to keep it. I'm saying if Solomon's wisdom was as such that the people feared, Jesus said in the 12th chapter of Matthew about himself, a greater one than Solomon is here. When he was talking to the people, Jesus is the king. So when Hebrews tells us in the 2nd chapter, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, which was spoken by God's son. He said, you can't escape this. If you're going to walk away from it, you can't escape it. I am speaking tonight to let us all know that King Jesus, he came and he's coming. He comes with the sword. So when parents and children and parents and kinfolk don't see eye to eye on God's word, I'm not talking about some minor details. I'm talking about how God said to live right and what is sin. He says, I'm bringing a sword because the ones who hold on to my word, those are my family. That's my family. But the ones who reject my words, and you can live in sin, you can lie, you can cheat, you can steal, you can kill. It's not my family. So if you've got one person under the roof who trusts in Jesus, and you got another say, oh, the Bible don't say that. He says, I'm bringing a sword. There's a separation. You're going to be at variance with one another. You can't walk together like that. You're not agreed. So there's going to be some problems. Jesus says, that's what I'm bringing. But when both persons come to the knowledge of what Jesus said and what God says, there's no sword. They know you can be on the same side. Does that make sense? Last verse, I think is Hebrews 4:12. It says something like this. Dream, when you find out, you take over. It says that the word of God is quick and powerful. All I'm doing is right now is I'm bringing in the idea of the sword, and I'm taking this again from the imagery that we found in this account, this historical account with Solomon, because my title is, I think I gave my title, The Sword of God's Judgment Separates. So I've gone again from the account to some principles that we need to understand. Drew, are you there? The word of God is quick and powerful.
The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yep, and that woman had an evil intent to take that other woman's child. Read again, read some more. I think the 13th verse talks about you can't hide.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
All things are open to him. That means there is no secret. Don't you know, we recall Adam and Eve? Thought they had a secret. Had a secret. We're going to keep this from you, God. And then the voice of the Lord thundered down and they realized, well, that's where we see tonight. And all of Israel was afraid. So we want to be afraid of God's power. I think it's Ecclesiastes that says it's the beginning of wisdom. Yes, it does. Now, Lord willing, when we get ready to go into the fourth chapter, some might find it boring. I think it's going to be somewhat a hard chapter maybe to deal with. I don't know just yet. I've looked some at it, read it, and so forth. We're going to look at Solomon's administration. I'm not going to go into it tonight, but I think for maybe once the lesson has actually been shorter as I said it was, because this is where we're going to end. But I'm going to pray, and then we'll open up for any discussion if there's going to be any. Father, I ask that you help us to think about how you want to separate and how you tell us to be holy because you're holy. Give us strength, the Lord. And though you told the disciples you'd give them what to say, help us have a tongue of the learned to be able to speak righteousness and not to be afraid of people's faces. Because once we are somewhat removed, whether it's momentarily from the conversation or the situation, you can deal with the persons. You can deal with those persons as you see fit. Help us to be faithful to you and to carry the sword as far as you want us to, dear Lord. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.